Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Show, episode number 3139.
Hi, I'm Wade Chumney, and I'm the author of Conscious Business Ethics, The Practical Guide to Wisdom, and also the co-founder, along with my wife, of the Curiosity and Wellbeing Retreat up near Yosemite in California. And I'm here to talk about the ethics of a higher conscious business.
Welcome to season 12 of the award-winning Conscious Millionaire Show, the world's number one podcast on conscious business and performance. With over 3,000 episodes and millions of listeners worldwide, this is where founders and entrepreneurs become ultra performers. I'm your host, JV Crum III. If you're ready to scale bigger, profit more, and create impact that truly matters, you're in the right place. This season, we're building a global movement of ultra performers, the new heroes of business who are breaking out to create bold new possibilities for the world. Subscribe now and share with your team, because this is the season you break out and become an ultra performer. Are you stuck at six or seven figures, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? You're not alone. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll get the three keys to accelerate your growth now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download now and start scaling bigger, faster. Hi, it's JV, and I am so excited you joined me because, you know, this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training special for you. And if this is your first time checking out Conscious Millionaire, a huge warm welcome. I hope it's absolutely amazing for you. If you're a longtime listener, thank you for checking out this special featured episode with Wade Chumney. Either way, you can subscribe absolutely free by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. Now, help me welcome my featured guest. He is a thought leader, speaker, author, and professor in the field of AI and human ethics. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to do that again. Now, help me welcome my featured guest. He is a thought leader, speaker, author, and professor in the field of AI and human ethics. He has 20 years of experience as a business ethics professor. He's an attorney. He's seeking to make a world that is a better place by sharing his wisdom on AI and human consciousness development. Help me welcome, from California, Wade Chumney. Wade, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, JV. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, you know what's fun about having another attorney, and I'm just kind of, you know, we have a Juris Doctorate, so about 1% of the adult population has some form of a doctorate. But many forms, like ours, we don't call ourselves doctor. But yeah, we have a doctorate, and it's kind of fun. And I love having other attorneys on, and especially ones like you who are living in this conscious world, who are working to help business owners create more conscious businesses and make a bigger difference. And folks, we're going to talk about a very important part of business that I think gets left out. Most businesses don't sit around talking about ethics. And I think if they do, they have a great misunderstanding and they think it's some kind of a switch and they're either ethical or you're not ethical. But the truth is, ethics, like your values for your business, like your vision for your business, something you're going to create based on how you want to operate your business, what, you know, promises you want to make to the world. I want to turn it over for you. So because you are a business ethic professor, how do you coach this idea of ethics?
Right. So the way that I talk about ethics may be a little different than some people, but it's about the realization that ethics, doing the right thing, is about being in alignment with the natural law. Just like gravity is a law, it's going to affect you, you know. There's also, if you look back historically to wisdom traditions and things like that, there's a moral fabric to the universe. And if you align with that, if you synchronize with the way things are in terms of, you know, how life works, it's not just this dog-eat-dog world where everyone's tearing at each other, even though that seems to be what's present in the business context. It's actually, if you look at nature, you know, this evolutionary process with cooperation, and there is competition, but it's not at this dog-eat-dog level, you know? And so the way I teach ethics is that you're trying to align yourself with the natural law.
So what I'd like to know is, how do we discern what that
means? Right. Well, read my book.
So your book, I also want to say again, Conscious Business Ethics. And what I love is this subtitle, The Practical Guide Wisdom. We'll get to wisdom in a moment, but how do we sit around as business owners and have meetings with our group or even as a founder and think about, well, what is ethics? And I'll kind of throw this out. You deal with it however you want. Why should I, as a conscious business entrepreneur or founder, why is this important? Not just from, I want to do good, but I also want to build a good business.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in actuality, you know, ethics is kind of, it serves as the foundation upon which you build your life, upon which you build your business, all these other things. And if you get those principles correct in the beginning, you have a solid foundation upon which to carry your work and have your employees and go out into the world. The way that I would discern, well, what is ethics? How do I know what the right thing to do is? My advice would be, well, let's look back historically to see what have we learned about ethics historically? Human beings have talked about this, have taught about this for well over 2,500 years. So, you know, you might want to go backwards and trace historically what's going on with ethics and what does it say? And if you do that, what you'll find is in the beginning, Plato is one of the philosophers in the Greek history, you know, the Western tradition, talked about the virtue. He talked about putting these things into practice. And he talked about moderation, courage, wisdom, and justice. And he said, you know, if anyone's familiar with Plato's cave allegory, which is maybe a little bit too philosophical for many, but it's about prisoners escaping from the darkness of the cave, getting out into the sunlight. But he says, you know, the quickest way to get out of the cave into that sunlight is by putting the virtues into practice. So for me, that's a starting point. Well, let's look at those virtues. What I find fascinating is that in the last 20 years, positive psychology has surveyed the world and found out, you know, how do we find exemplars, people that live a positive life, that are enjoying their life experience? What qualities do these human beings have? It turns out they found six virtues worldwide, or they call them character strengths. They're the same four that Plato talked about nearly 2,500 years ago. And then they added transcendence and humanity. This is a psychology. You know, this isn't, philosophy is normative. This is how you ought to act. And there's some normative theories out there. Psychology is a science. It's a descriptive science of this is how you behave. This is what people do. This is what we found in the data. And the data they have found shows that these six virtues put into practice are what lead to this type of life experience of having an ideal experience in the business setting, in your personal setting, whatever context you find yourself. And when it comes to psychology, they've obviously got tons of practices and ways to go about doing this, both on a personal and an organizational level.
You know, of those six, I kind of personally want to dig down into transcendence, and probably because it relates to my work of helping people awaken into higher levels of their mind and consciousness and build their business from an awakened place. So talk about transcendence, because that one, you know, just piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Transcendence is, you know, you can state it different ways, but probably the simplest way to state it is the realization that you're part of something greater than yourself, you know, transcendent, right? And that can mean different things to different people. From a, you know, religious standpoint, it could mean, you know, God and the creator of the universe. From a naturalist, you know, I'm part of nature and the planet Earth, and I'm, you know, part of this larger system that I find myself on. So there's different ways to define that. But what happens is when human beings realize there's a connection to something larger themselves, that they're an interdependent component of that larger system, then they start to behave differently. They start to value different things. And they start to look at their lives in a different way. Rather than selfishly focusing on, you know, acquiring this as much as I can for me, you start to realize that I benefit in line with the larger system benefiting as well. Like, we work in unison. That's the alignment that we've been talking about with integrity and ethics, the natural law. You know, same thing. It's about being in alignment with that larger system of which you're a part. And that's integrity, that's transcendence.
And when I think about transcendence or awakening, I also think about the difference between you and I right now experiencing ourselves as separate, and you and I transcending to a higher consciousness in which we not only intellectually, I mean, I first started experience through meditation, experience oneness that way, but that we experience ourselves that way. And I think from a business perspective, this changes everything. That if instead of your team members being separate, if one of them has a problem or need, the whole team has a problem. And if there's a problem in society that you want to solve, it's because you realize you have that problem, that we all have it, and because of the oneness. How does that fit into how would someone on a practical level, I always like to go to the higher conscious space, but then practically, how would somebody bring that into their business and how they build it, how they build their team, how they interact with customers?
Right. So when it comes to you as an individual listening to this podcast, there's your system, right? Just like we're part of a larger system. The organization's a system. The planet's a system. The universe is a system. Systems, all the way down. But for our system, two primary components to pay attention to, I think, that go to your question are your intention and your attention, okay? So your intention would be, what do you intend? You know, what's the overall overarching purpose of your business, of this thing you're creating? And what do you want the values to be that you embed within it? That's your intention. That's what you value. That's what you head toward. And in that regard, this concept of unity, of wholeness, you know, yoga is to yoke together, you know, just to talk about, you know, that Eastern tradition, you know, all wisdom traditions from what I've surveyed point to the same place, that unity is the top highest level of conscious development. Separation, fear, you know, desire, that stuff is down at the bottom. So you want to head toward unity, head toward this place where, again, as you mentioned, or maybe it was in the pre-show, that you're trying to solve a problem that's out there in the world. So how do you unify people? How do you bring people together to help make that a solution that benefits both yourself and those around you? You have to set that intention. If your intention is not along those ethical lines, then you're leaving out a very important natural law of the universe that you're not going to be in alignment with. As the second word I mentioned that was important was attention. And I call that your most valuable asset, you know, that's the thing that you focus on, whatever you want to focus on to bring into your brain, to create your beliefs, to create your perspective, you know, your ego, where you see the world from. So your attention is tied to your intention. So if whatever intention you set, your attention will follow along if that's what you've set as your direction to head. So I think focusing on those two attributes as an individual setting up a business or shifting a business in a different direction are really important to head toward that unity aspect.
Now, I want to add here from my first book, Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference. And by the way, I haven't given it away in a long time. So here's how you can get it absolutely free. It was the number one book on Amazon, number one in 34 categories, consciousmillionaire.com/free book. Just go and get it right now, download it, and you get a free copy. I talked about two stages of capital. The first stage is where most people are. And I talk about the first stage, win-lose. For me to win, you've got to lose, because that's, we think there's 100 marbles in the bag, right? And then what I think we're talking about now is second stage, where I say that's about you, others, and humanity all winning together. But that also comes out of that sense of oneness, that we're winning because it isn't me winning against you, it's us winning as one. And the three aspects of that one are you, others, and humanity all winning together. And so that seems like that fits into your ethical principle.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, at the beginning you said, you know, ethics isn't binary. It's not like that. But there are polar ends, you know, there are things like, for instance, at the base level, at the lowest level of human motivation, I would say, is fear. That's what many people are tied to. Most of their actions are motivated.
Well, and the fear is related to survival.
Yes, fear is absolutely, it's the same thing. I mean, synonymous. Fear of survival. That's what, and this is ingrained in our instincts as human beings. I mean, we had to survive the savannah, you know, back when there were wild animals around and stuff like that. It served us well. It got us to live. But in today's day and age, with, you know, the constant social media and the internet and all these other things, AI coming online, our brains weren't really designed maybe to handle this much data coming at us. So this, you know, some of our instincts come back to actually hurt us in a way that we need to develop and overcome. And when you talk about those two worlds, you know, I was saying at one end is kind of fear. At the other end of that spectrum would be love. You know, that would be the opposite. Think about those two concepts, right? Fear, separation, away from other things. Love, coming together, combining. It's exactly the same thing as separation versus unity, you know, being all together versus being separate. And that, you know, those simple kind of polarity aspects can help you to understand there's a spectrum, an infinite spectrum in between along which you can find yourself. But those are the two kind of base ends. And much more beneficial for you and your company and society and humanity to head toward that love unifying aspect.
Well, before we go to break, could you give, say, maybe three steps anybody could utilize as a founder, as an entrepreneur in building their business and integrating ethics in a way that's actually going to help them grow the business? And it has a practical aspect, not just a philosophical.
That's great. So I would say the first step is you want to actually take the time to sit down and reflect and think through deeply about just the ethical component of your business. Like, what do you want that to look like? If you don't do that, then you're never focusing your attention, your most valuable asset, on this really critical aspect that, again, is, as others have said throughout history, is kind of a part of the natural laws of the universe. So you want to kind of hone in and think about that deeply first. That's the first. And then the second step is, once you've, you know, realize what's out there, what you think are important values. Obviously, I've listed six virtues or character strengths that have a lot of scientific support and evidence. You know, you could see how maybe playing off of those, maybe using those as a starting point, see which virtues or character strengths you think are most best to be embodied in your organization, or how those would best be exemplified in your organizational setting. So think about it deeply, and then, you know, kind of translate and putting these into practice. And then the third thing is to actually do it, is to actually care about the ethics. I don't know how to say this any other way. If you're starting an organization, you have to actually care about it in order for it to matter. If, you know, if you're silent on ethics when those issues come up, you're speaking volumes to what your employees are going to do about it. So it has to be something that you genuinely care about. And that's exemplified both in how you carry yourself throughout the organization, how you speak to people, and very importantly, in two aspects, I would say. One is training. How do you do ethics training? Is it just a multiple choice test that people click through and has no meaning? Or is it kind of like maybe you or someone talking, you know, bringing people online and showing them how these things matter? You know, that makes a big difference. The other place where ethics comes in pretty significantly is onboarding. When you bring in new employees, are you questioning this? Are you looking for employees that fit your organizational culture if you want to have this ethics embedded within it? Or if that's not even a feature, then how could you bring someone on? They could be totally out of alignment with what you're trying to do.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is that you aren't just the founder, you're a leader who's going to embody, and your organization is going to live these ethics. And I think about that in so many very large corporations that where I've had friends that were working in them, and they'd talk about how they had a business plan, but it was put on a shelf. And like, nobody was living the plan. If you want to have ethics in your business, it has to inform your decision making. It has to inform how you handle a crisis. It has to inform the onboarding, and it has to be integral to your culture. So you have to be the living embodiment of these ethics, because that's how you show up. I think there is no situation or of any kind of organization, including government, that if the people at the top don't embody these kind of ethics, it's not going to be abided by anybody else, because they're the ones creating the example.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it any more clearly. And this goes to one of my favorite quotes I use whenever I'm either teaching an organization or teaching my students. You know, it comes from Yogi Berra, great American baseball player, very witty human being. He says, in theory, there's no difference between theory and practice, but in practice, there is. I say that so many times. I can't. Because, and here's why, you know, I've been a business ethics professor for about 20 years now. For the first 15 years, more or less, I was teaching these concepts and my students were studying and learning and getting it. But there was no change in my students' behavior. I'm just teaching concepts, right? So it's all theory. That's when I decided to write my book. I realized ethics is about how you choose to live your life. And you can have a better life experience if you're ethical. So this going about being this good person, it's not a punishment. It's actually the best thing you can do for your life. If you, again, just look historically, you don't have to trust me. Look at what wise people have said throughout history and what science shows today with positive psychology. This stuff works. So by putting it into practice, you get to reap the benefits personally of living this type of life, being in alignment with the laws of nature. And then your organization does as well. The people you hire, it changes the entire culture of an organization to have ethics as a cornerstone of that entity.
That always feels like, as you're saying it, it's a compass heading.
Yeah, exactly. Like a North Star, give you something to head toward, because, you know, when life hits you, life's hard. Things come at you that you never expected, that you don't even know you're able to handle. And so by having thought about this thoroughly in the beginning, like we talked about, and setting this path and making it your direction, when those tough times hit, when a crisis or emergency strikes you, you're not just floundering and reaching around and whatever. You have a North Star, you know that's your intention, and then you work toward how do I handle this from this, you know, higher transcendent level approach.
We're here with Wade Shumney. He is the author of Conscious Business Ethics, The Practical Guide to Wisdom. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you stuck at the six or seven figure level, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million or more, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? The truth is, most founders are leaving millions on the table because they don't have the right formula. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the three exact keys you need to break through your plateaus and accelerate growth starting now. Because if you're like most entrepreneurs I meet, you want to profit more, make a bigger impact, and enjoy lasting financial freedom. I'm JV Crum III, and after two exits and $75 million in revenues, I've learned how to help entrepreneurs like you scale bigger and move faster than ever before. And as a listener to the Conscious Millionaire Show, you get special access to my manifesto today. So act now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. That's consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Again, go now to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download your manifesto today and start scaling bigger, faster. Welcome back. I'm JV Crum, the third host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. My featured guest today is Wade Shumney. He is the author of Conscious Business Ethics, The Practical Guide to Wisdom. And that's right. It's time for the 24-hour challenge. Wade, what's the challenge you have for everyone listening today?
All right. This is a simple practice that I think can change your life. I mean, I know it can based upon the science and philosophy of people in the past. And it's this. It's just to keep a gratitude journal. And I know you and I talked about this. It's a practice that you actually do, JV, where in the morning you just wake up and think about three things that you're grateful for. First thing before you hit, grab your phone, do anything else, frame your day by thinking of this, you know, this virtue of attribute of gratitude, which lots of studies have found is the most impactful emotion you can have to help develop your perspective and raise your consciousness. So think about three things you're grateful for, be sincere, spend 5 minutes deep in thought thinking about these things before you write them down, put them on paper, and then head about your day. Keep that journal on a regular basis.
Wade, I love that. It's a great 24-hour challenge. And now, you know, I want to say what you know if you're a long-term listener, I love to say, and that is I love you. I care about you. I want the best for you. I want you to become wealthy by doing something that at the end of the day you feel matters, that you've impacted the world in a positive way. And I know that if you do that, you will get a more happy and fulfilled life. I want to thank all of our listeners in Atlanta, Georgia, and LA. And now it's time for the Conscious Millionaire Entrepreneur Questions. And Wade, I like to start with mindset because I think that's where everything begins. What's the mindset you've developed for finding your best business opportunity?
Yes, I think the best mindset is one of kind of like peace and calm, where you have, if you're sitting in alignment with the laws of nature, then you're not disjointed. Your body, mind, and heart, which are three different components I talk about in my book, you know, that those three things are in alignment. They're all heading in the same direction. You speak what you feel, you act, you know, what you intend. You're not like disjointed here. And if you have those things in place, I think having a stillness in your mind, no thoughts racing, no things like that, it allows you to look at the world in a clear, detached way and make the best decision. Be that in a business setting, in a personal setting, in a social setting, whatever the case may be, any context, it works. And that's why it's so vital to work on your insides, your mindset being, you know, probably the most critical thing that you can bring to bear on anything, because it's something you bring to bear on everything you do in your entire life from the day you're born till the day you pass. So you want to keep that front and foremost. Like, how do I develop the best mindset that I can, the most clear, the most calm, the most accurate, so that I'm able to assess the situations that come my way clearly and act accordingly?
Well, you know, this next question has just become fascinating since I introduced it a couple of years ago. If you were going to become a billionaire within 10 years, first, what's the problem problem you'd solve for humanity? And equally important, who must you become? What qualities are you going to have to develop in order to play at that bigger level?
Right. So I guess the problem I would solve, as I mentioned at the introduction, you know, my wife and I have created a Yosemite Curiosity and Well-Being Retreat. And that was designed with the intention of helping people leave that place in a better state of mind than when they arrive. Lots of different things on site. We've got a Zen hut and a meditation room, you know, different books to read, different games to play with your family, all kinds of things, 5 acres on site. But the purpose of that is kind of the purpose I think that I want to fulfill, which is to help people raise their level of consciousness. You know, we're in a time right now that's pretty intense, I think, in world history. You know, AI's on board, you got global warming, you got quantum computing coming, you got wars out, you know, a lot of stuff.
There's a lot going on. A
whole lot. So we're at a critical juncture, I believe. So in this critical juncture, my mission, my job, is the way I see it, is to help make the world a better place, as you said at the outset. So what skills can I bring to bear? Well, I can bring my book, which hopefully can help raise people's consciousness. I can create a center, a retreat, where people can go to physically experience this. We're going to have lectures there, workshops and things like that as well. So those are the things I'm trying to do to help elevate the consciousness, which all of those problems that we're facing, the only thing that's going to solve them is approaching them from a higher level of consciousness. You know, Einstein's quote, you know, you can't solve a problem at the same level of thinking that it was created. That's, you know, something like that, close to that is what he said. You've got to raise your game. You've got to come from a higher place to deal with the problems we've created from this lower level of consciousness. So my job is to try to elevate that.
And who must you become?
Yeah, who must I become? I think I would have to become someone that's a little bit more engaged, I think, in the world. I'm, you know, right now I'm a professor, I teach a job, I do some talks and some things to other companies and things like that. I don't have a big social media presence. I haven't focused on that. But I think to truly go to that next level, I need to reach a lot more people. And that's going to require me to be more engaged on those things, which I have not yet really done.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I'm curious, I know from our conversation that you have personal practice. What's one of those personal practices that allows you to constantly form at higher?
Right. So, you know, the gratitude journal is one practice on a daily basis. Another one that I think helps a lot traces back to Pythagoras, as far as I can tell, from a historical standpoint of philosophers. And it's like a day in review, where at the end of the day, prior to falling asleep, to try to recall your day, the events, it helps your memory, you know, of what transpired throughout the day, and then how you interacted, and how would you change any interaction to have done it as a more ideal human being? You know, if you were the ideal human being, how would you have handled that argument with your wife? How would you handle that disagreement with your boss or things like that? Those things, if you bake them into your head as you fall asleep, wake up with the gratitude journal, you've got kind of two bookends there that start the day, end the day, that should put you on a continuous cycle of self-improvement, which is you don't want to be stagnant. You want to evolve. You want to grow. You want to change. That's the key to life. And if you're not doing that, then you're just sitting there stagnant. So I think those are a couple of practices that help in regard.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I want to remind you again that Wade's book is Conscious Business Ethics, The Practical Guide to Wisdom. What's a book you'd like to recommend?
Yeah, so there is a book I'd like to recommend. It's called The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. And I just spell the name NavalRavikant. Almanac is spelled differently. But that is a free book that's actually available online. Naval is a very astute businessman who's made a whole lot of money in Silicon Valley and also figured out how to be happy, how to, put ethics into practice. So those two things don't always go together, which is what, you know, we're trying to espouse. And that's a phenomenal book. I think you would find a lot of wisdom in it.
Well, my final question, I've asked it over 3,000 times now. What's the legacy?
Yeah. So I guess the legacy I would like to leave pretty simply is that I leave the world in a better place than I found. Like, I've just contributed in some way to help some people, you know, elevate their consciousness, see the world, you know, treat people better, do something to just help society, help humanity, help the planet in any way that I can do, you know, make that possible. And we all have unique gifts, unique strengths, things like that. So what I bring to bear, hopefully that can help make that happen.
Well, I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for showing up, because Wade and I have conversations and they're great. But without you, it's not a podcast. You're the most important component to this podcast. You're the one that actually makes it a podcast. And I so much look forward to connecting with you on the next Conscious Millionaire. Wade, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time.
Are you stuck at six or seven figures, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? You're not alone. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll get the three keys to accelerate your growth now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download now and start scaling bigger, faster.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributor, and broadcast media make no claims that strategy information discussed in the show will result in profits, result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not represent those of staff, management, or broadcast of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. Advice is counsel on matters related to business, financial, investment matters. Advisors, always consult your licensed health advisor prior to making changes in your diet, this program, implementing a health strategy. Information discussed, not all information provided may be situation. As always, take responsibility and action. Take responsibility.
Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Show, episode number 3140.
Hi, this is Cole Harvey, host of The Big Life, and today I will reveal the three keys to living big.
Welcome to season 12 of the award-winning Conscious Millionaire Show, the world's number one podcast on conscious business and performance. With over 3,000 episodes and millions of listeners worldwide, this is where founders and entrepreneurs become ultra-performers. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III. If you're ready to scale bigger, profit more, and create impact that truly matters, you're in the right place. This season, we're building a global movement of ultra performers, the new heroes of business who are breaking out to create bold new possibilities for the world. Subscribe now and share with your team, because this is the season you break out and become an ultra performer.
Are you stuck at six or seven figures, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? You're not alone. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll get the three keys to accelerate your growth now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download now and start scaling bigger, faster.
Today's show is sponsored by Conscious Millionaire. We work with six, seven, eight-figure entrepreneurs to help them make more money and make a bigger impact on humanity. And if this is your first time visiting with us, thank you so much for joining us. I hope it's an amazing experience. I hope you'll come back, and please bring your entrepreneur friends with you. And whether this is your first time or you're a longtime fan, you can subscribe absolutely free by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. And at the top of the page, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, we've got the links to both, and you can subscribe for all 6 days a week. And now help me welcome our featured guest. He helps entrepreneurs create big lives full of passion, purpose, abundance, well-being, and high vibes. He empowers people to reject ordinary lives and create lifestyles, businesses, and incomes that they not only desire, but deserve. Help me welcome, from London, England, Carl Harvey. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hello, JV. I'm genuinely thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am thrilled. You got all your Versace on, and you are just dapper. So I want you to know, folks, when you imagine Carl, if you're listening to the audio, think dapper. You're going to want to know more about this guy. He hosts The Big Life Podcast. You're going to want to go check that out. And today, we're going to talk about the three keys to living big. But let's start first with, why is your life dedicated to living big and helping other people live big as well?
Oh, great question. Truly, it's because I was so unhappy and insecure and not confident growing up that I sought out these lessons and teachings like Think and Grow Rich, The Secret, How to Create Money, Passion, Purpose, for purely selfish reasons, because I thought it would fix something within me. I told myself, once I make a certain amount of money, once I'm a certain level of success, then I'll be happy. Alas, and I think you found this as well, it doesn't quite work like that. But during that, what I discovered was that my true passion and purpose is sharing what I've learned with other people, helping them to transcend their limitations, to grow in belief, to hustle, to create businesses and lives that they love. And really, it's not altruistic itself, because it's the thing that makes me the happiest. And I genuinely love helping people transform their lives, businesses, incomes, and more.
Well, you know, you and I were kind of battering back and forth and joking before, but I actually think it's good to bring up. My notice, we were saying, well, maybe we should just call it How to Play Small. right? Instead of how to live big. But the truth is, and I just want to get in your face a little bit because I love you. If you're listening, you know what I'm going to tell you. There's no accidents. You're here for a reason. And I think that reason is to wake up and start playing bigger. I don't care how big you're playing right now. I know that if, like, even if you're like, you're at several million, you're going, hey, I'm playing big. No, that's not several billion. And I know that you're capable of that. I know that it's in you. So I'm curious, Carl, what has been your observation about, let's start with the opposite side. Why do so many people, maybe the majority of the people on the planet, really seem to live a life where they're playing small rather than waking up and choosing to play big?
Great question. Many, many reasons from there. Their upbringing, what they learned from their parents and peer group growing up, that goes deep in conscious. And usually, alas, we're raised by people who might not have a total money conscious or spiritual enlightenment vibrations that they're passing down to us and teaching us that we can do anything in life that we want, full of love and passion. In fact, I believe that the media now likes people to feel victimized, to be small, and focus on the ways they feel discriminated against or victimized, as opposed to teaching people their true power. And I think it's not in the best interest of the higher ups in society to have beautiful, high vibration, conscious people who are not reliant on the state or even other people, because I believe it's scary for them to have profound people who have conviction, know they can create whatever they want. Also, misery likes company. I believe you're right. The majority of people do live like this. And so it's therefore quite challenging to step outside that and say, no, I will start a business. I will become a millionaire. I will quit this job or get out of this toxic relationship, because it can threaten and even upset the people closest to you, and they can try and hold you back. So there are many different reasons and factors that make it easier in some ways for people to live small. But if you've ever tried it, it's not a long-term solution. I believe that part of this game, part of the becoming a boss, living a big life, you have to make that decision that, no, I will not settle for this. I might not be perfect, but I deserve more.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you've listened to me or you know me personally, you know that I love the California Big Sur coast. And I've lived at Esalen, and I've lived in Pebble Beach, and I've lived in Monterey. And I remember one time after I had started Conscious Millionaire. So folks, if you don't know the Monterey Peninsula, it's understandable. There are four little communities and 72,000 people, and about half of them don't live there most of the time because some of them have like 3-4 homes, okay? It's that kind of people. So you've got Monterey, Pacific Grove, you've got Pebble Beach, which is the wealthiest section, and then you have Carmel. And I was in a shop once in Pacific Grove, and I was just telling the woman, the shopkeeper, what I do, Conscious Millionaire. And it was interesting to me because she had clearly thought through her response. This is not a new topic. And she goes, I wouldn't want to be a millionaire. It would be too much responsibility to decide what to do with all that money. And I thought, well, I think it would be too much responsibility to try to figure out how to pay your bills when you don't have any money. Like, I would have thought that was more responsibility and a heavier burden than, oh my God, what to do with $1 million, right? But, you know, I think that go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as we learned when we studied NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, what the thinker thinks, the prover proves. So therefore, if you tell yourself a story that, oh, I don't want to be a millionaire because that would create all sorts of problems. It would be awful and terrible. Your subconscious mind will take that as truth and create it. It will say, you're right. That's why we're going to repel this money. Even if it comes to you, find a way to get rid of it.
Yep.
The first step, or one of the key steps, I believe, is to go within and to question that. Really, if someone gave me $1 million in a suitcase for free, I wouldn't want to be a millionaire. Why not? You could give it to your mama. You could share it with charities or people you like. Buy a nice car. And if you go a little deeper, you'll realize that I probably do want to be a millionaire, but I've got these stories or beliefs, or more likely, I don't really believe I can get it. So it's easier for me to say, I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't need a big house like that. Don't need a Bentley convertible like this dress, man. That's too much. But the problem is, again, what the thinker thinks, the prover proves, your subconscious mind will keep it from you. So I recommend tell a story that every day, in every way, I'm becoming more prosperous. I deserve everything in life I want and more. I deserve the Deepak said, people with wealth consciousness settle only for the best. Go first class all the way, and the universe respond by bringing you more of the best. I believe in that.
Well, you know, folks, as we are recording this, I am starting my next book called Conscious Millionaire, Your 7 Money Mindsets. And last Friday, I get some of my best inspiration. I go out in nature and I spend the day in nature. And I got sentences that will become part of the first chapter, which I'm working on this week. And so the thesis of the book is going to be, I'm going to be very bold, and I'm going to tell you right now, and I hope it entices you to want to know more, you've been living a lie. Humanity's been living a lie since the beginning of humanity. And that lie is that we're living in scarcity, and we have to struggle, and there is lack. And I believe that's a complete lie. I think the actual nature of the universe is limitless abundance, that is the true nature. And my book is going to tell you how to shift your money mindsets so that you now can start to enter that reality and start living in a different way based on limitless abundance. And if you're making decisions based on limitless abundance, all of a sudden it's not the Bentley versus giving to a charity. It's the Bentley.
No.
It's the Bentley and giving to the charity.
Drive to the charity in the Bentley.
Right. And here's the truth. The nicer the things are that I've had, like I surround myself with art, is they put me in a higher vibration, and then I achieve more and I can give more. So it's abundance begetting abundance begetting abundance. So I'm curious, the three keys to living big, what's the first key?
Three keys to living big. First step, the starting point, I teach all my clients this, and I was blessed enough to learn this from Napoleon Hill and Think Grow Rich and Dr. Maxwell Maltz in Psycho-Cybernetics, and more recently, people like Dr. Joe Vitale, Dr. Paul Sheely, John Assaraf, bosses, they all say the same thing, and it is this. You must start with a clear intention, a vision for what you want to create. Now, even though you've probably heard this before and it sounds simple, there's actually a huge amount of depth, because you will achieve your master vision, nothing more, nothing less. 'Twas Earl Nightingale and The Stranger's Secret, or actually As a Man Thinketh, James Allen.
Oh, no, these are all the books I have and I study. In fact, let's bring in a book that I have studied for years, and I've been studying Think and Grow Rich for 40 years. You know, so folks, listen to the two of us. Right? So you're listening to this show because you want inspiration, you want ideas, you want to grow, you want to become more abundant. Listen to what we do on a regular basis. I studied Waddles, The Science of Getting Rich, for years and years and years. I had the audio of that whole book. And for a solid year, when I went to the athletic club and I did like an hour on the treadmill, I listened to it over and over and over again. Right? Yes, I have.
I listened to the master case today.
I have that black copy. Someone was nice enough to send that to me who heard the show. So have a clear intention. Once you get your clear intention of where you want to go, and I agree, that is so critical, because I work with people who are extremely successful, and yet they don't have a clear intention of 10 years from now, for example. It's not clear. Well, you're never going to accomplish it. You're just wasting time if you don't know where you're headed, right? I know where I'm headed in 10 years. I know how much money I'm going to make, and I know exactly what I'm going to do with all of it. It's all crystal clear. And that gives me a purpose for going out and doing it. And by the way, 90% of that's going to Conscious World, my foundation, to train youth in 100 countries to become conscious leaders and solve the problem of how do we all live in a world that we can thrive. Everybody thrives. What's the second key?
Presumably, before we get to that, the other 10% of the money's going on Versace jackets. I can send
you a I've got 10% of it. Where of that 10%, 90% is going into investable assets, namely homes and art, which all appreciate in value. So later I'll sell them for more, right? And then only 10% of that goes into depreciable assets. That's a Bentley. That's a Versace. I mean, those are worth.
I am very well versed in the depreciating assets. Thank you very much. Yes. I mastered that one, mate. At a young age, yes.
Yes. Those are depreciating assets. So you want to, relatively speaking, put a small amount of your money into depreciating assets.
What about precious metal, silver, gold? Do you do any of that?
No, I don't. I'm more on the Bitcoin side. But I'm not advising you to go out. I know why I'm buying it. It may not be a good reason for you to buy it. What's the second key?
All right. So the first one is the vision. And the big inner work there is to expand your thinking and to dream up the most ludicrous, ideal, Hollywood-esque lifestyle and vision that you can imagine from your current level of consciousness. Write it down. Bob Proctor told me off when I used to work with him several times. He's the one that made me write goals down. He said, "Do you have your goals written down, young man?" I was like, "No, Mr. Proctor, no need. They're in my head." He gave me a real telling off. He was a proper gangster, that man. He made me write them down, because this leads to step two. When you have the vision, no matter how ludicrous, if you write it down and focus on it repeatedly, it will, step two, burn into your glorious subconscious mind. I mean, this is life changing. When I got given a book of psycho-cybernetics and introduced the idea of the subconscious mind, it completely changed my life. I, like you, got a law degree, very left brain. This woo-woo ludicrous nonsense create through our thought. However, the science of the subconscious got me curious, excited, lit up. Since then, I've dedicated years to studying the subconscious mind, neuroscience, working with people like John Assaraf, who works with the top neuroscientists on earth. My key takeaway is that your subconscious mind, Dr. Bruce Lipton says, quote, 95 to 99% of the total. He continues, your subconscious mind, quote, at least 1 million times more powerful than your conscious mind. Dr. Paul Sheely, great client and mentor, believes that number is closer to 1 billion times. Whichever way you look at it, you have a genius resource within you, and most people try and do everything up here in the voice in their head, conscious mind that is very much programmed by what you've done in the past, what people expect of you, what is realistic. The subconscious is the realm of mysticism, infinite intelligence, creativity, bliss, enlightenment, inspiration, and more. So the way I apply it, programming your subconscious mind, is each and every day, morning and night.
And this is the third key that you have, right?
The second is to program the subconscious. So I'm just polishing this one up. Basically, write down what you want to program your subconscious with and read it out with feeling every day. Visualize it, see it, hear it, feel it, and repeat. The subconscious mind will act on any orders given it in a spirit of absolute faith, Napoleon Hill said in Think and Grow Rich. Although those orders must be repeated over and over again until they are accepted and acted on by the mind. The neuroscience backs this up. Basically, spend 10, 15 minutes a day imagining your best life, your ideal life. Feel it, see it, hear it, but crucially, feel as if you've already got it. Over a period of days, weeks, and months, this will program your mind and it will automatically help you, give you ideas, synchronicity. You'll be in the right place at the right time. You will expand to a greater version of yourself with the power of the subconscious mind. So step two is every day, spend a bit of time programming your subconscious. JV has created incredible audio on his website, The Conscious Millionaire Hypnosis.
Go to Conscious. Thank you for pitching.
It's bloody brilliant.
Yeah, so consciousmillionaire.com and get the audio Born to Make Millions. And it's yours, absolutely free. And I did it. It's only 6 minutes long, so you can listen to it a couple of times a day. Reprogram you. Yes.
Sure. That will program people's subconscious mind for them in 6 minute stint. Just keep out for a week or two. Don't judge the results. Like, I did it twice. Nothing's happened yet. Let go. Attach your subconscious mind. Like when you learn to drive or tie your shoelaces or learn an instrument, it's really, really hard and impossible until the moment you get it. Then it's the same with beliefs about money, wealth, self-confidence. You've got to get it in the subconscious mind, I believe.
Yep. And so what's the third key?
The third is to take one small, beautiful, inspired action step every day to your goals. Now, here's the differentiator. When I started learning about the study of success, there's a lot of talk about take massive action. Tony Robbins, jump up 5 a.m, get in the ice tank, jump on a trampoline, work 14 hours, be bigger, better, badder than ever before. Tried it a bit. It's not for me. I was exhausted. So I started to seek other ways because I'm like, am I a bad human? Am I a bad entrepreneur if I don't want to live like this? Then I discovered an incredible author who I believe we both love, Stuart Wilde.
Right.
Stuart Wilde's passed now, rest in peace, but one of his biggest ideas, a great metaphysical author who wrote about spirituality, consciousness, and money in abundance. His idea is so simple. And the last 12 years as an entrepreneur, I've proven this so many times that I now have absolute faith in anything I want to create. And it's so simple. You haven't got to take massive action. Take one concerted action a day that you believe has a good chance of helping you to reach your goal. So your vision from step one, you ask yourself every day, what's one move I can send an email, make a call, finish that thing you said, you quit this bloody job you don't like. But one step, you do one thing a day, the synchronicity, momentum you create, the flow, and it compound interest, Buffett vibes, over a period of weeks, months, and then years, you will realize that just one small action a day will transform your life, business, abundance, and more. I believe most people try and do all or nothing, either work really, really hard, massive action, and then when inevitably that gets exhausting, they beat themselves up and stop taking any action at all, and they go back in their head and start worrying and overanalyzing. For me, the key is simple, just one thing a day. Now get this, sometimes I'll take that one step and that's it. I'm going to read Harry Potter, put some music on, play the PlayStation, go for a walk in the woods, drive the Bentley, do nothing. But get this, because I've taken the pressure off, other times when I've done my one thing for the day, I'm genuinely inspired. And all of a sudden, there's Tony Robbins' version. I do the 12 hours because there's no pressure. It's all a bonus. So the key takeaway here, and I know you may have to take this on faith to begin with, just see what happens where instead of trying to be perfect or the best version of you all day, every day, look at your goal. What's the one step I can take today that has a good chance of nudging me in the right direction? And I'm telling you, when you do this again and again through repetition, your life will change and your inner belief will change because you'll learn through the repetition, trial and error. Oh, anything I focus on and move towards, I will create. It might take longer. There will inevitably be challenges, things I need to learn and overcome, but there's no doubt I can get it. And all of that uncertainty disappears. And then you are powerful beyond belief and magnetic, and everyone wants to be around you and support you. Not everyone, but people, resources, offers come. So one action a day, take the pressure off and just take one step and watch what happens when that momentum synchronicity builds up.
We're here with Carl Harvey. I want you to stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to have the 24-hour challenge and, of course, the Conscious Millionaire Limitless Performer question. We'll be right back with Carl Harvey. Are you stuck at the six or seven figure level, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million or more, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? The truth is, most founders are leaving millions on the table because they don't have the right formula. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the three exact keys you need to break through your plateaus and accelerate growth starting now. Because if you're like most entrepreneurs I meet, you want to profit more, make a bigger impact, and enjoy lasting financial freedom. I'm J.V. Crum III, and after two exits and $75 million in revenues, I've learned how to help entrepreneurs like you scale bigger and move faster than ever before. And as a listener to the Conscious Millionaire Show, you get special access to my manifesto today. So act now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. That's consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Again, go now to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download your manifesto today and start scaling bigger, faster. Hi, this is JV, and welcome back to the Conscious Millionaire Limitless Performer Show. I'm the host, and our featured guest today is Carl Harvey. We've been discussing the three keys to living big. And if you just joined us on our syndicated radio show, you're going to want all of this show, and you can get it by going to consciousmillionaireshow.com and just scroll down to today's title, The Three Keys to Living Big. And now it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Carl, what's the challenge you have for everyone listening today?
This is a fun and glorious challenge that incorporates the three steps. This is quick, easy, and taps into the glorious power of your imagination. Albert Einstein said that your imagination is a preview of life's coming attraction. So what I invite you to do today as the challenge is take a little time for yourself. JV and I mentioned, we had a little chat beforehand, the power of solitude. Go off on your own just for a few minutes. It could be, you know, upstairs, a nice room, run a bath, or go for a walk in the woods. But a little time to yourself, quiet and down. Then spend a few minutes visualizing and imagining that whatever your biggest intention or vision, imagine that it's already happened. Like this today, you just achieved that goal. So if it's to be a millionaire or to close a deal or to be a number one author, imagine that it's just happened now. How will you know? What will you see? What will you hear? What will... Remember, your subconscious mind acts on any orders, giving it in a spirit of faith. So imagine that it's actually happened. Feel it. It's going to make you feel really good. It's going to raise your vibration. The power of visualization is real. Once you've opened your eyes after a 5-10 minute visualization, take one step towards the vision. One concerted action, quote Stuart Wilde. That could be to make a sales call, to get back in touch with an old client, to finish the thing on the to-do list, to launch a bloody product, to host a webinar, whatever it may be, but just one thing. And as you're doing it, say to yourself on the inside, like, this one step is moving me to my vision. Every day in every way, I'm taking inspired action. And I believe that if you do this and take 10, 15 minutes, you're going to raise your vibration, start programming your conscious beliefs. And above all, you are going to start noting, paying attention, direct link correlation between, if I take this little action, much might not happen at first, but over the days and certainly a couple of weeks, a month, my entire life will change. So I invite you today, a little visualization and one action step. What is the most profitable one step you can make, or the most fun or glorious? Do that step. Do your best work. Always do your best from the four agreements. Sometimes your best will be world-class. Other times, so good. But as long as you're doing your best, that energy, you will win. And I'm certain that complete this challenge today, you'll want to try it tomorrow, perhaps the day after. And then you'll hit me and JV up and say, thank you, JV and Co-Arvi. That was glorious, because your life will change. What you manifest at the deepest level, your beliefs will change. And all of the fears, insecurities and doubts will over time dissipate. And what you focus on expands. And when you focus on success, abundance, giving, service and having fun, taking action, all of the old stuff just withers and dies. It dissipates on its own. I believe you don't have to give that any attention. Focus on what you want. Feel it. And take one step a day and put a smile on your face. You take that. When you do that, get ready for some magic miracles. This is one of the keys to living big.
Well, thank you very much, Carl Harvey. And if you're driving, jogging, taking the dog or the child for a walk, you've got to know that we got you covered. Just go to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. That's right. That's our headquarters. And go there, scroll down to today's title, The 3 Keys to Living Big. Click on that. While you're there, go ahead and sign up if you're not already signed up to get all 6 days absolutely free. And you'll get all the answers to the questions I'm asking. You'll get the 24-hour challenge. They'll all be there. You don't have to take any notes. Just keep driving. Be safe. And go to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. And now it's time for me to do one of my favorite parts and thank you for showing up and tell you I love you, I appreciate you, and I am grateful for you being on the planet right now, because I know you're here to make a big impact. We want to help you make big money, big impact, and get a big life. I especially want to thank all of our friends and fans in New York City and London. And now it's time for the Limitless Performer questions. And of course, we're going to start with mindset. Carl, what's the mindset you've developed that helps you discover your best business opportunities?
Fantastic question. Counterintuitively and paradoxically, perhaps, my best business opportunities come when I detach from thinking about business and go for a walk in nature. Typically, for me, it's nature, letting go, let the conscious mind get out of the way, and boom, that's when I get the idea. And one of the things I've learned, I think JV talks about this as well, is inspired action. When I get the idea, money like speed, universe like speed, I accept it as a gift from God, infinite intelligence. I put it into action right away. So my mindset is basically to relax and understand my best ideas come when they're supposed to, divine perfect timing, but when I'm not stressing and struggling. So I consciously put myself in situations where I'm likely to be relaxed. Spa, walk in the woods, nice bath, bit of yoga, boom, money making idea.
And what's a practice that you've developed that keeps you on a growth path?
Brilliant. Two major ones, visualization, as I've talked about, morning and night. And secondly, study. Success leaves clues. Read brilliant books like The Conscious Millionaire book that you read. Absolutely stunning book. Get yourself that if you haven't already. Think and Grow Rich. Listen to audiobooks or YouTube videos of inspiring stuff. What you focus on expands. So my daily practice is I want to put something before and uplifting in my mind to focus on, to be my focus of the day. And I'm going to be visualizing my goals. Again, I know the power of the conscious mind, the power of repetition. So that is what I do without fail.
No, I love that. You know, I'm curious, how have you created a business vision that positively impacts humanity?
By sheer accident, because I tried to create a business focused purely on money and I achieved it and I was miserable. So then I went within, did the soul searching, and honestly, just listened to my intuition more and more. My intuition leads me, your intuition will lead you. But there's something within me that, it might sound cheesy, but my dharma, my purpose is I have to. It's the only time I feel fulfilled is when I'm helping others to boss up, create bigger life, start a business, transcend their limitations and the scary stories they've convinced themselves are true. So my vision is to impact as many people as I possibly can to help them enjoy life more, raise their vibration, and really stop taking things quite so seriously. A lot of people live like very scary, serious grown-ups and forgot the magic, majesty of life.
Well, I want to remind you, if you like what you're hearing from Carl Harvey, go check out. He's the host of the Big Life Podcast. You know, what's a book you'd like to recommend for entrepreneurs?
Your book, honestly. Take JV's book, Conscious Millionaire, or reread it. Bob Proctor carried around one book for 70 years, Think and Grow Rich. We've talked about it lots. That is, for me, the Bible of wealth conscious, and it's actually surprisingly about far more money. This is how you program your conscious mind, use the powers, universal laws, create what you want, and also to do it in a way where you become a bigger version of you who genuinely loves to serve, love to give. So I would study Think and Grow Rich, and also sincerely, the Conscious Millionaire book is bloody brilliant. You can read it in an afternoon.
I'm curious, what's the best way for listeners to reach out to you?
Oh, hit me up to chat. If you go to www.thebiglife.com thebiglife.com, thebiglife.com, and put your name and email in there. You'll get the Big Life show. And JV is going to come on the show soon, aren't you, JV? It'll be glorious. But also, I'm going to give you a free copy, all of JV's listeners, of my $300 sold-out Mind Valley course, The Big Life Blueprint. 10 video module training course, incredible technology, brainwave entrainment, meditations, and more. Sold thousands of copies at $300. It's brilliant. Professionally and lovingly produced by Mind Valley. And it's not even for sale anymore. The only way to get it is go to thebiglife.com, and I'm hooking you up completely free as a gift. Show love for JV for having so. Help yourself.
I love that. Thank you so much. You know, I'm curious, Carl. You've just begun. I've just begun. The truth is, you're listening. You've just begun. That is the way I look at every day of my life. Oh, I've just scratched the surface. There's so much more to come. What's that next summit for Carl? And what might be a challenge or an obstacle you're going to have to overcome to get to yet another mountaintop?
Great question. Next goal, big vision, purpose got me, is to really make The Big Life the number one personal growth podcast, training, media company on earth to help transform the lives of millions of people. And for me, one of the challenges is to hold myself accountable to be the very best version of me each day. All I wanted for years was the 4-hour work, and as in basically do as little work as possible, create that. And once I'd achieved that, I realized, no, my purpose is much, much bigger than sitting on the beach in Australia where I used to live, you know, working a couple of minutes a day and getting paid. It's glorious. Passive becomes lovely. But for me, it's how do I let go of that part of me that says, you've already got the Bentley and this and that, take it easy. So in order for me to serve at the highest level, I need to find the way of overcoming that voice to hold myself accountable to the highest level again and again, which must be a challenge that you've encountered in time and learned to deal with. So I'll pick your brain on that, JVB.
Thank you very much. And my final question, which I've actually asked over 3,000 times now, what's the legacy you want to leave?
Basically, the swaggiest sarched up Dexter you ever met.
And all the bling to go with it, right?
I've got all the bling. Now, truly, Bob Proctor was a dear mentor and he's just passed.
Met him as well. Unfortunately, he passed before I was able to get him on the show. But
oh, bless. The way people love him and how he dedicated so many decades serving and helping and sharing these incredible universal truths. That's the sort of legacy I want. That someone who really raised the vibration of everyone we met, looked after me family and the people that love me. But if I want to leave behind training, information, resources that make it easier for people to get through, you know, this beautiful but also very challenging life. So if I can do that in some way, I'm genuinely not that bothered about what people think of me. Oh, you know, statues of me hundreds of years later. That I don't really ponder that. But in terms of a legacy, something I've written or shared years later can light someone up and change their day, week, month, year or life. That would be awesome. But mainly the Versace.
Okay. So I want to thank you, of course, for showing up because you're the most important part of this show. You're the listener. You're the reason we do this. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next Conscious Millionaire. Carl, thank you so much for being our featured guest.